Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It's my pleasure to welcome Joe Lungin to the podcast. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, James?
Doing very good.
Great to be here.
So Joe, you are with Cohesive Solutions. First off, tell us a little bit about yourself and Cohesive Solutions.
Absolutely. So I am a facilities person, I guess, you know, through most of my experience, 20 years in facilities management, safety, led some technical crews, did a lot of work around research for a university, and moved over into business process analysis, asset management, enterprise asset management systems, or CMMS.
Yep.
Started working with those systems. And now I'm working for Cohesive Solutions, so I get to kind of share that experience with others. Cohesive is a over 20-year veteran in the Maximo implementation industry, as well as, you know, enterprise asset management consulting, and I'm on the performance management side.
Okay.
So we help guide organizations to measure and align and, you know, use strategy to perform in that space.
All right, excellent. So you're helping them you take their strategies, figure out what are the right KPIs, what are the right metrics, make sure we're measuring those things consistently and using those to drive the business forward, right?
Absolutely.
All right, excellent. Absolutely. Excellent. So what we wanted to talk about today, and you were talking about maintenance and reliability perfection.
Yes. All right,
and we want to, you know, continue that conversation. So what is your definition of maintenance and reliability, first off?
So I actually like to refer to these in some basic terms, in that they're really a noun and a verb, respectively, right? So if you think about maintenance, maintenance is activities that we really like to use to restore or preserve functionality of assets.
Yep.
You know, and reliability is, you know, more of a state. It's an ability or a quality that you would like to have, whether that be in your assets and your people.
Yep.
When you talk about assets, they talk about the ability for something to function for a certain period of time under certain conditions, to meet some desired outcome. So, you know, whether that might be, you know, HVAC or production lines, you know, facilities, spaces, pumps, you know, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about reliability in very broad terms.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, what you and I had been chatting about before is kind of the mixing of those terms kind of interchangeably. They're often lumped together, though.
Yes. Yeah, it's everyone does. They don't just say maintenance. They don't just say reliability. It's always maintenance and reliability. Right. So they do definitely lump those together. So we discussed how these things, like your definitions of them, but how are they really different? Right. Maintenance is really what, that activity, where reliability is what we're trying to achieve. Is that it?
Well, I think, I mean, and that's the problem. Like, so it's, you know, language comes into play. I think what I like to refer to for a lot of people is that you can be really great at maintenance, but still not have reliability. So if you think about it in those terms, the maintenance is kind of the practice that we do every day.
Yep.
And humans, I think, are very good at reactive maintenance, especially. And I relate it to fight or flight.
Yep.
Right. So if you're put into a stressful situation, the body reacts, and you want to immediately kind of overcome that situation and restore some, you know, some
normalcy.
Sense of normalcy, right?
Yep.
And that, maybe you could tie that back to reliability, is that you're really trying to get back to that inherent state of reliability. So we're really good at the corrective portion of it. We're really good at, you know, keeping something there or planning ahead in order to keep ourselves in that state.
Okay, excellent. Now, we're beginning to understand the differences between these two. Mm-hmm. What do you think is more prominent in companies? You know, maintenance best practices, reliability best practices, you know, what are people doing more of right now?
Well, I think there's a huge focus on reliability. And, you know, there's, I think, ebbs and flows. People become, you know, great at maintenance. So I think if you ask just generally what happens more, it's maintenance.
Yep.
Right? Whether, you know, people say, you know, is it a cost center? Is it a necessary evil? Whatever the case may be, you know, we have to do it. Maintenance has to occur. Just things don't ever stay in that state of reliability. So I think there's a lot more maintenance activity that occurs just because it has to. Again, going back to that natural scenario. Yep. You know, what we should be doing more of is, you know, maybe educating folks and establishing best practices around reliability in order to make sure that the maintenance that we're doing fits into a strategy that equals or delivers reliability.
Yeah, and I think that's key. There's a difference between doing maintenance and getting maintenance that'll deliver improvements in reliability, right?
Absolutely.
There's a big difference there. Now, are these two items, maintenance and reliability, competing for resources, attention? Are they competing?
Yeah, I think, you know, more cases than not, they are. We often talk with organizations about, you know, silos. And, you know, unfortunately, the people that work for organizations are typically siloed into different groups, maintenance and reliability. For instance, you know, you have maintenance technicians, maintenance supervisors, maintenance groups. And then you have reliability of the same thing, reliability engineers, reliability technicians, you know. And I think if we're going to segregate the people, then we're also segregating the ability for reliability and maintenance to coexist. So if you want those to mutually coexist, then the people need to as well.
All right. So with that being said, what can organizations do to drive improvements to both of these activities without taking away from one another?
So one of the things that we preach a lot about is line of sight. So, you know, everybody in the organization really understanding how they fit into the organization's mission, vision, and values, and what they do day to day and how it makes an impact on, you know, towards that mission. So if companies, and it comes down to culture, I think.
Yep.
So if you can create a culture where people have line of sight, then it's going to be much easier to take best practices and implement better procedures, ensure that you're keeping reliability in mind, everything from the concept of, you know, whatever it is, a construction project, new building, new manufacturing mm-hmm. line, whatever the case may be, through the design, you know, purchase and acquisition, to the point where maintenance comes into play, right? Somebody then has to own it, operate it. So, you know, you're only as good as what you get.
Yep.
Right? So I think, you know, we have to create that line of sight. And then the second portion of that is kind of like full life cycle management, right? We don't need to concentrate on just that maintenance and operation phase. We're very good at that because we have to be.
Yes.
What we're not good at is, you know, the beginning and the end of those life cycles.
All right. Excellent. Now, when we have these things in place, the maintenance and reliability, we don't want to steal resources from one another, but everyone's trying to get best in class in both, like almost achieve perfection in both maintenance and reliability practices. Do we need to get perfection in either one of these to get results for our organization?
Yeah, I say no, at least initially, just based on the premise that really, you know, that to me, perfection can't exist, right?
Yes.
It's something that you can strive for, right? But I think every organization needs to first assess where they are currently.
Yep.
You know, we'll meet you where you are, you know, and really understanding where you are today in comparison to best in class, you know, world class figures, whatever the case may be, is one thing. But establishing your own, you know, performance targets and goals to meet your mission standards is another. So, you know, whatever you want to define perfection as, I guess, is okay. But the organization needs to do that specific to them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we set those performance benchmarks and, you know, those types of things, we got to keep in mind of like a flight path almost, right? We can't just say, oh, we want best in class targets. So all of a sudden, all of our KPIs and measures are going to be there, right? We got to have a flight plan to get there. if we're at 50, we're not going to 90 overnight. So is it 55 in 3 months? Is it 60 in the next 3 months? Yep, and so on and so forth.
Incremental progress is so important to, and humans work better that way.
Yeah, if I drop 90 in front of them and I made this mistake in a past life, we benchmarked all the sites. We had 6 metrics we were measuring for work management. And I gave everyone the best practice targets. Well, I had sites that were at 50%. Now they're going to 80% for schedule adherence. They're not going to do that. Their metrics said they did within a couple weeks. Well, what did they do? They just started scheduling less work, so it looked better, right?
Yeah, they gamify the system, so.
Exactly.
So, and you have to be careful not to see things that aren't there. So there's a great cartoon that I reference. I'm using it in my session this week. You know, where somebody refers to, they're saying, well, all the greatest engineers, you know, played with clocks when they were kids. So then they immediately, you know, the cartoon transfers over to, well, teachers need to teach every student then how to disassemble and reassemble clocks. You know, and the problem was, is it really wasn't about the clocks driving the, so this is cause and effect, right? The clocks weren't necessarily creating engineers, just the people that had the right mindset to become engineers had that fascination.
Yeah, and to take things apart, see how they work.
Exactly. But, you know, people looking, and this is where people can become fixated on a metric, is that if you don't have a roadmap, if you don't have, you know, objectives that you have set and aligned throughout different levels of your organization, it can be easy just to grab some end goal and not have a way to get there.
Yep.
So it'd be like if you just pick an arbitrary point on the map, you know, without a GPS and without any, you know, way of direction, you're just arbitrarily driving somewhere, and you're gonna end up somewhere, but not where you intended.
Exactly. And that might not be where you need to go. You may only need to go half that distance, or you may need to go twice the distance, right? And I think that benchmark varies depending upon your organization, right? Not everyone has to get to that best in class number. They may need to just get here to make sure that they're in a good position long term, right?
Absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Now, how can we get these two groups to work together, maintenance and reliability groups to work together, to make sure, you know, we're optimizing resources, we're balancing costs, but we're generating that performance we need?
So I think there's a couple of pieces involved here. One is communication, and another big thing is training. So we need transparency in organizations. People need to understand what expectations are. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, you'll get these folks together that, you know, maybe leaders on nameplate or in the org chart. And, you know, they'll say, well, you know, everybody else in the industry is doing this, so we'll pick this benchmark and we're going to shoot for that. But everybody else in the organization doesn't know. So, I mean, this comes back to line of sight. But, you know, we need to communicate the why, the how. How are, you know, why are we doing this? How does that support the mission? And how does that meet the, you know, the mission at your level? So, you know, if you're the technician that's performing maintenance on a production line, you know, how is the maintenance I'm doing today ultimately yielding, you know, low cost, high quality products to the customer?
Exactly.
Right? They need to understand how they fit. And then the second thing is training, you know, whether it be skills training or strategy, you know, around reliability and best practices. You know, there's so much available in the industry. It's become so streamlined, and, you know, and how you can access it, that there's really no excuse not to go out and identify. And the training plans, you know, don't need to be very deep. You know, it could be one or two, you know, online trainings, or somebody coming to a site and doing something for a group of technicians.
Yep.
You know, make them cross-functional even. You know, you don't have to isolate. So communication and training, I think, you know, are two big things to help alleviate that problem.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about that line of sight or organizational alignment, right? I can't count on my hands the number of times that I've had organizations that give a maintenance technician OEE for the site as a metric.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, he influences it somehow, but that's not something he can see. As I improve this, that drives changes. Right? Maybe they're looking at PM compliance for shift, or schedule compliance for shift, or work order feedback completion rate, something that they can do and see something move, right? And as long as that's aligned with the organizational objective, that's the way I think we have to go. because you give them OEE, they'll pay attention for the first day. Then you're like, no matter what I do, I'm not changing this myself, and they will quit caring about it.
Yeah. So and if they don't understand it, exactly. Then there's no buy-in.
Exactly. Right. So we need to have the organizational alignment, but we also need to have the metrics talk to the right levels in the organization. And I think that's where a lot of organizations fail, is they don't have the right metrics at the right level. And then people just get frustrated, they don't pay attention to them, and we're not driving the right behaviors.
Yeah. Another thing that people are afraid of, I think, is transparency in when we fail. So we picked a point, we created an initiative to try to drive us to that point, and it didn't work. I like to refer to, you know, people talk about flavor of the month.
Yep.
You go in and you'll talk to people and say, well, they're telling us today that we need to do this. You know, organizations need to be transparent about what hasn't worked. And if you've tried it more than once, you know, you may have tried it and didn't implement it well. But if you tried it more than once, like, you need to be transparent throughout the organization. This didn't work. We need to do something different. So, you know, owning our failures and learning from them are just as important as capitalizing and, you know, and celebrating the wins.
I think that's absolutely right. One thing I have always advocated from a long time ago is anytime we try something new, a shutdown plan, a new initiative, keep it simple if you're not doing detailed analysis already, but the two up, two down. What's two things that we did well and we want to continue with the next time we re-implement this or focus on it again? But also, what were two things that went poorly that we got to fix? Right? That way we're not overwhelming people with all these things, but just some simple things that we can do next time we do an initiative, next time we relaunch this, next time we do a shutdown, whatever the case is. So we can learn from those failures, right? And sometimes that's the best way to learn, is from those failures.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, communicate them broadly, you know, share them. Don't be afraid to own it. And, you know, you often find people coming up with ideas that, you know, you had no idea if you wouldn't have shared that otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. So what do you think makes the biggest difference with organizations trying to be successful in maintenance and reliability? Is it having the right metrics? Is it training? What's the thing that drives this in the right direction?
I think it's getting it to a point where you actually practice continuous improvement, like we were just talking about.
Yep.
So, you know, you can say plan, do, check, act, whatever cycle or methodology you want to utilize. You know, we've identified something, some objectives, maybe gaps through an assessment, some initiative, something we want to try to improve to reach a goal, and then we do it.
Yep.
And then we need to analyze that, right? So we want to document that process, we want to learn from it, and then we want to improve it, and we want to do it again. And those can be just in small chunks. They don't have to be huge implementations or initiatives.
Absolutely.
So I think one of the keys is that organizations that are striving and practicing continuous improvement increase their performance, and you know they gain a lot of buy-in and a lot of responsibility and ownership and pride within the organization when they actually continuously improve.
Absolutely. So if you had a magic wand, what would you change in a typical reliability program?
So, you know, one of the things that I like to say is that culture in the organization will drive everything. So, and I like to highlight the difference between leaders on paper, like on the org chart, versus actual leadership. Are you instilling things in people and leading, guiding, sharing knowledge? So I think the magic wand that I would wave is that to take those people that are kind of natural born leaders or that can become leaders through mentoring and nurturing, if I could wave that wand and just have them, you know, have some intrinsic confidence and know that they're leaders and just lead within their organizations. You know, I've seen it, and I'll call out some folks here at the end, but, you know, if we could wave that wand and get those people to step up and just be leaders wherever they are, and that's from the shop floor the whole way to the boardroom. It doesn't matter where they are. Leadership happens throughout the organization.
Absolutely. And some of the initiatives that I've done in the past, you're not going to the maintenance manager or maintenance supervisor to get this stuff done. You know the technician you're going to go talk to, and he's got influence over the whole team. Informal leadership, but nevertheless leadership. And those changes happen when you get him on board, right? Way more effectively, way more quickly than sometimes the people with the nameplate leadership positions.
Exactly.
So what is the one difference you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today about maintenance and reliability? What is the one thing you want them to do different tomorrow, next week?
I want them to be open to learning. So I wanted to say read a book, right? Not everybody, you know, whether it's digital, you know, paper copy, whatever the case may be, you know, find something to read, find something to learn. And I read an article recently that talked about how in order to learn, you know, once we become young adults, we develop this sense of self, which involves ego. And in order to learn, you have to open these gaps in your ego to say, oh, there's something I don't know. I can learn more.
Yep.
And you allow yourself to learn. So I think that that's what I would challenge people to do is, you know, find that gap, find something that intrigues you, and go and learn something, and then share it with somebody else.
Yep.
Because if you can share the curiosity or share the knowledge that you've just learned, then you pass it on. Now you're leading and you're instilling that culture, you know, in your organization or even across organizations.
Yeah.
You know, this event that we're at here, you know, at SMRP, the great networking opportunities that we have, I think the best thing is learning and sharing from others, you know, hearing where they are, feeling their pain,
yep.
Celebrating the wins, celebrating the failures, you know, and doing it together in a way that everybody can grow together. It's rising tides, you know, raise all ships. I
exactly.
like that saying.
And, you know, I was doing a training class in China earlier this year. And, you know, I asked everyone at the end of the second day, I think it was, what did you learn so far? And this incredibly smart engineer, electrical engineer, said, I've learned I have to be humble and pretend I am a child because I need to learn this stuff. I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that just struck me as, here's a guy with a PhD in electrical engineering, all this stuff, and he's like, I have to be humble like a child and pretend and realize I don't know everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the reference to children because that, you know, part of what, I mean, I have children, I think, I don't know if
yep,
you do as well. It's, you know, and you reflect back once you have children as to what you did to your parents growing up, right? Like we became teenagers at that, like I talked about that sense of self, you know, we talk about, well, they think they know everything.
Yep.
You kind of have to build this shell. And the reference to acting like a child is that children up to a certain point just, you know, they just absorb everything.
Yeah.
Because there's no inhibition. You know, right?
They don't have these mental blocks in place that say, no, this is how I'm supposed to behave. No, that's not how that's supposed to work, right? They don't have these preconceived notions in place.
Yes, absolutely. So be open to learn.
Yep, absolutely. I love it. So where can people find out more about yourself, Cohesive Solutions? What other conferences, events are you guys mm-hmm. doing? Where can people learn more?
So easy thing for Cohesive Solutions, it's just www.cohesivesolutions.com. And we have blog postings. We have connections to, you know, both our CMMS work in Maximo and our performance management side of the house that I work on. So look for the blogs and the postings mm-hmm. or our events. For me, Twitter and LinkedIn, right? Follow
yep.
me. Just look for Joe Lungeon. Probably spelled the last name wrong. That's okay. You'll find it somehow. Yeah, and just, you know, I like to share on social media and connect with folks that, you know, I've been following
yep.
you for a long time in the podcast, so
yep.
very gracious, you know, and appreciative to finally be able to speak with you.
Yeah, it's great finally meeting people. You know, you talk to them on LinkedIn and all these other things, you know, and finally get to go put a face to the name and that sort of stuff, so
absolutely.
But I'll put links to all those in the show notes. People can
yeah.
quickly find them. One other question about learning.
Yeah.
What's your favorite resource for people to learn more about what we've talked about or performance management or anything related to what we do?
Yeah, well, I wanted to share just a couple of the things that I have read or I'm reading that kind of revolves around this. So on LinkedIn or just, you know, general web search, Stacy Barr, I followed her for a long time, so shout out to Stacy, but the book Prove It.
Okay.
I know many in my organization, previous organization, myself, you know, have read that. And you know, looked at her pump methodology. It's very, you know, very widely accepted. So Prove It is a great resource. I'm currently reading Aligned by Hortense Le Gentil, just recently released, and it talks about alignment, not just in around like maintenance and reliability,
yep.
our terms we're talking today, but just alignment in general.
Excellent.
So you know, you talk about line of sight, alignment with an organization's the book. Goes above that, a little more of a human psyche level, if you will. It's very interesting.
So now you've named two books I have yet to read. So
yep.
now my wife's going to get mad, so I'm going to add two more to my Amazon
cart.
That's
right. That's right. And then just a couple other shout-outs, I guess. You know, the ISO 55000, it's, you know, people will say if you want to go to sleep fast, you know, grab a copy and read it. But the new iterations that are coming out from the different technical committees, very, very helpful in that it's kind of demystifying and, you know, putting actual details to the methodology that's involved in ISO 55000, like how to actually do it. I want to shout out Susan Greenman. She has some great classes and puts out great content, kind of sharing what that means in real terms.
Yep.
Obviously, SMRP, the open member forums, I think have been awesome.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of discussions there. And then just some of the, you know, obviously yourself, but people and some of these, I'm sure you've seen them here. Paul Crocker.
Yep.
Amazing guy. I think, you know, think leadership, you know, from anywhere in your organization, Paul demonstrates that. Greg Perry.
Yep.
From Fluke. Greg's an amazing guy to chat with, and we have him. He and I have a lot of kind of down to earth conversations about how to apply this stuff in simple terms and analogies. That's really fun. Dan Anderson.
Yep.
From Lifecycle.
Yeah, he's been on a few times on the podcast
as
well. Same with Paul. Greg, I think he's been on once, and he's supposed to do another one coming up too.
Yep.
So.
Perfect. And then just Ryan Chan.
Yep.
So if you met Ryan from Upkeep.
Yep.
Just injecting some new, I think, energy into the environment, you know, and obviously they're an up-and-comer, right,
yep.
You know. So, you know, Fall, I love that they're injecting new energy around the space. And then Loane Smith.
Yep.
Got to give him a shout-out to Loane. You know, again, I think, you know, just boots on the ground, you know, developing leadership, jumping into the space, learning as much as he can. He has the right personality and willingness
absolutely.
To learn, and just a super nice guy.
Yeah, these are all great guys. I finally got to meet them all in person this week. So Loane, Ryan, I met this week, but I've talked to him in the past, you know, that sort of stuff. So that's what these conferences are all about, is being able to finally meet people you've talked to, have those conversations, you know, bounce ideas off each other and figure out what's working and not. So.
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it. It's
yes, thank you as well.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.